All right, great. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Our guests today are John Tuscherer and Misty Quintana of the Fort Collins Housing Authority. John was our guest about a year and a half ago on one of our calls, and at that time he talked a little bit about the process that they went through in terms of going through a policy, and the process was basically they started, this whole process seemed to start something like 8 years ago, but finally about 2 years ago they got serious and they started by talking to their board. Then they did some addendums and got some feedback from the tenants before finally taking it back to the board. But it took them over a year and a half before they implemented the policy, and they gave everybody a year, a grandfathering year, while the leases were in effect. So, John and Misty, why don't you tell us how things are going and how it's been working out for you.
Okay. I think it's been going pretty well. I don't know, maybe Misty can, she deals directly with the tenants, so I don't know how many complaints we've had from people who don't like the fact they can't smoke anymore. Do you have any feeling for that?
Overall, I think our smokers are aware of the harmful effects. They've been very happy to smoke outside of their homes. Okay. I haven't had many complaints.
Okay. We haven't run into too many legal problems, really. We had one person in public housing who, he got a notice about his smoking, and he asked for a grievance hearing. And he went to legal services, but when they came to the hearing, they agreed that we had every legal right to do this and that he would stop smoking in the unit and take his smoking outside. So that turned out pretty well.
And if I remember, that was like early on, right? So like almost.
It was. It was a disabled tenant, and we actually agreed to move him to a unit where it was convenient for him to go outside. I think that's really the only legal challenge we've had, to our policy.
That's great.
I don't think we've had to send a lot of notices about this. We usually start with just a warning letter rather than a legal notice to people, just reminding them about the policy. I think in some of our nonprofit units that have balconies, we've had a little bit of a problem because people were still smoking out on the balconies, and we've had to kind of work with them and get them to move further away from the building.
And what are some of the educational efforts, or what do you do when you get new residents in terms of informing them of the policy, or is there any ongoing reminders, et cetera?
Well, we did this policy as a lease addendum. So whenever someone is looking at units, we make them aware that all of our units are smoke-free. And then when they come in to actually lease up, they do have to sign a lease addendum regarding the smoke-free policy. We've done a lot of signage. We used to have a tenant newsletter, and I think we put some articles in the tenant newsletter, but we're trying to transition that to an electronic form that we can email, so we're not actually doing that right now. Can you think of other things?
I think that covers most of them.
We've tried to make people aware of the hotline where they can call and get information about quitting smoking.
Great. And then in terms of your signage, you have some designated areas for smoking, is that correct? That are outside?
We do, yeah. Wherever it's possible, we've tried to put an area where people can go. We copied the city's ordinance as far as having to be 20 feet from any entranceway, doorway, or window, so that we are kind of consistent with what the city is doing. So all of our areas have to be more than 20 feet away from the building, pretty much.
And do you have, can you describe your signage? Is it in every entrance, or do you...
It's on every building, is what we've tried to do. So we have some properties that have multiple buildings, and we've tried to put a sign on every building that we have. The only exception would probably be our single-family homes. You know, we do have some of those. And we actually grandfathered some of those people in a little bit longer because they weren't harming anyone else except for the people who are in that unit. So we've kind of done those on turnover for our single family units.
Okay, great. And
ask a question about that.
Okay.
So I just wanted to clarify that you do have that your policy extends not just to the multi-unit buildings, but to all to Section 8 as well. Is that? Can you explain that?
No. We only did this for units that we own. So the Section 8 program, they usually go out and rent from a private landlord in the community, and we don't. We don't actually manage any project-based Section 8 units for private owners or anything, so we didn't have that to work with.
So you, but you do cover, so anything that you own, how many, what all does that include?
Well, it would include our public housing, our tax credit properties, and our, just our affordable housing. So it's, in total, it's about 750 units.
So I think that she's also talking about also is the voucher system, which use again that's private landlords,
yeah.
And you can't really control.
No, that would be up because they're renting from private owners. It'd be up to the private owners to implement that.
Done any communication with the, is there a network of private owners? I'm asking this just because some property owners have contacted me and asked, first, can they do this? How do they go about doing it? And so I wonder if there may be interest among that network, and just wondered if you've worked with them at all.
You know, we actually haven't about this issue. We are a member of the Apartment Association, and we go to their monthly meetings, so it would be easy for us to give them information if they wanted to. I know we just did a presentation to them this month on the Section 8 program, but we haven't had a request for, you know, smoke-free housing yet.
So I have one more question for you, and then we'll just open it up to everybody. So now that you've had this in for a couple of years practically, looking back, is there anything that you think that you might have done differently if you were to do this again that you think would recommend, or you think the process you
I think one mistake that we made when we originally started this process, we sent a letter to every tenant and we sent along a copy of our proposed lease addendum and our proposed policy, and unfortunately they thought they were supposed to sign it right then, so we had people returning our proposed policy to us, and that was kind of a mistake. I probably wouldn't do that again. It just confused people, so I think if we did that over, we would just send the letter itself and not a copy of the other two documents. We just tell people where they could view the documents if they wanted to.
Okay. Great, and I think you mentioned that you do provide cessation information, but Have you tracked whether people are quitting more or smoking less at all?
I think just anecdotally, you know, when we originally put this policy into effect, a few of the people who protested the most, you know, a year later, they had actually quit smoking. So that was a little bit surprising, you know. And I'm just talking maybe three or four people, but that's really all the statistics that we have, you know.
Okay. Appreciate it. All right. Let's open it up. Anybody have any questions? Once again, please introduce yourself. Go ahead with any questions you may have.
This is Karen. This is Karen from Boulder Housing Partners. Have you guys had to do any type of lease violations where it's actually gone to eviction, or have you been successful in getting people to become compliant?
I don't think we've had to take this to court yet. The closest we came, I think, was when we had to do a public housing grievance. There have been a few people in our affordable housing where we don't have as many restrictions on what we're able to do that have had their leases ended, where we've just ended their lease and asked them to move. But because those aren't really covered by any of the HUD programs, we're able to do that without, you know, really any legal problems.
Okay, thanks.
This is Karen from Delta. Have you seen any residents leave as a result of the policy?
No, Misty's shaking her head. No. I don't think we have. I think just the general information we get is it's a plus, you know, as far as renting units rather than a minus, losing tenants. Of course, you know, in public housing, people may not have that option to move somewhere else because they're getting the subsidy and they probably don't have the income to go out and rent in the community.
Anybody else have any questions? Or?
This is Karen again. I'm sorry. I missed your answer about your designated smoking areas.
We've tried to put up areas where people can smoke. So we may have like a picnic table and some, you know, containers to collect the cigarette butts. Wherever we have properties that are large enough to do that, we try to do that.
Are they well marked then? Do people know where they're supposed to go?
Yes, they are. And I think we've done some efforts to inform people, like with letters, or a lot of our buildings have public bulletin boards on them, and the information is given there also.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions?
Okay, well, I'll have another one then. What is your, how do you enforce it? What's your enforcement protocol?
Well, I think a lot of this is reported by other tenants. That's the usual way we would find out about something. We would probably, as a first step, start by talking to the tenant personally. I think the second step would be just a letter to the tenant warning them of the consequences of keeping smoking in their unit. The third step would be an actual legal notice. And then after that, it would be an eviction notice.
And you haven't gone to step three or four yet, it sounds like.
No. The one thing we have done in our units that aren't really covered by any HUD programs is we have had to end a couple of leases, I believe, and ask people to move out.
And those were because they're violating the policy, is that correct?
Yeah, those were actually people who I think admitted that they were smoking in their unit and they were not going to stop. So they were just basically asked to move somewhere else. You know? And because we were allowed to do that in those programs, you know, it wasn't a public housing unit or anything where people had to have a grievance procedure. We were able to end their lease rather than evicting them. And I think we made some effort to explain to them that it would be better to move out voluntarily rather than have an eviction on your record and have a really hard time finding another unit because of that.
John, this is Ivy in Grand Junction. Did your people help choose the smoking areas on the properties, the tenants? Did the tenants help choose?
I don't think so, but that was mainly because we were kind of limited in where it could go.
Okay.
We don't have a lot of large properties. We have a lot of smaller properties, so there wasn't a lot of areas we could put the smoking area in.
Okay, thank you.
Are you hearing much from other housing authorities in Colorado asking you questions about your policy and et cetera?
You know, I did like a couple years ago. I haven't really heard anything lately.
Any other questions, anybody?
This is Karen again. What about your cessation efforts? I think you said something about that. Are they like available in the office, and do you have posters around talking about, you know, free quit help, that kind of thing?
We do, and we all, you know, we worked with our local health department to get information to our tenants when we first started doing this.
Okay.
So we tried to send out some brochures, things like that, that had information on them about smoking cessation.
And I forgot to, does your policy cover the grounds other than the designated smoking area or just the units?
Well, it covers the buildings, basically. So we copy the city ordinance. So people are not allowed to smoke within 20 feet of any window, door, or building entrance, basically.
So do you have playgrounds?
We do on some of our properties, yes, a few of the larger ones.
Do you find people gathering smoking there with young children?
I'm not sure. Do you have any feel for that?
I haven't noticed anything.
No. I mean, really, the only thing I can think of, a couple of our properties are close to high schools. And we've had a continual problem with high school students wandering by and smoking. But I don't think we've had a big problem with our own tenants.
Anybody else have any questions for John or Misty?
John, do you have any plans to do any follow-up like, how's the smoking policy working for the tenants, sort of a survey at any time?
No, I haven't really thought about that. We do a general survey, like when people move out, we do ask for feedback on how we're doing, anything we're doing right, anything we're doing wrong. And we have in the past done a general survey that was sent out to all tenants, but it wasn't specifically just for the smoking policy.
Right.
And I wanted to mention that when John first started on their policy, Jan in Larimer County, the Larimer County Health Department, was very helpful with the cessation and with, you know, helping them as well in the process.
Yes, that was a great help, you know, and there was some free signage and a whole bunch of different things that she helped with. So.
All right, we've got about 3 more minutes if there are any other questions. Those of you who are still working on, who have grantees, if you want to stay on, I know that John and Misty probably have a lot on their plate, so if you want to stay on, we can continue to talk and maybe you can just give some updates.
Okay.
Any other questions? Doesn't sound like it. That was a quick call, so was it? Did I hear somebody?
Actually, this is Cindy with American Lung. If I could ask one quick question, I'm wondering if you've seen a decrease in cost from renovating a unit between some tenants due to their smoking.
Yes, definitely. You know, those units can get really expensive if you have someone who is a very heavy smoker. So. I think, you know, I'd have to ask the maintenance department a little more information, but I'm sure we've definitely seen a reduced cost on turning a unit over for a smoker, you know.
Yeah, I would have assumed so, but just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, I mean, there are still other costs, of course. We sometimes have a lot of destruction, but it hasn't been caused by smoking anymore anyway. So.
John's been a great resource for us, and so if anybody ever has any questions or, you know, if you are working with a housing authority and they need to talk to, you know, other people that have done it, John's been always open and willing to provide his experience and expertise, and he's one of GASP's on one of our committees for reviewing materials and helped us with our landlord guide, and so I'm really appreciative of your time and your expertise, and I want to thank you personally for your help and also for being one of the first larger housing authorities in Colorado to make this happen.
Oh, you're very welcome.
All right. So if the grantees want to stay on for a few minutes, you can just give us some short updates. And thank you again, John and Misty.
Oh, you're welcome.
You're welcome to stay on if you want to, but I know you've got a lot on your plate.
Yeah, we'll probably get back to work, I guess. So.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Going to end the recording at this time.
Thank you. Please stand by.